It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. It's December 21st, the winter solstice, the day of the longest darkness of the year. But imagine being on the northern coast of Greenland. The sun went down at the end of October and won't be back until late February. The writer Gretel Ehrlich was drawn to Greenland's darkness and its light. She traveled there each year, 7 trips in all, getting to know the Eskimo people, and in winter going out on the dog sleds for long hunting expeditions. About the darkness, Gretel Ehrlich writes, everyone seems to be affected.
The biggest problem with darkness is the anticipation of it, and historically that's when people got what they call Arctic hysteria. Even the dogs fell prey to this at times. But once the darkness comes, it seems to be more like a cloak. I always thought of it as the cowl of a monk's hood, sort of coming around the back of my head and eventually going all the way across my eyes, so that the darkness, while at first seemed like a wall, then became more like a window.
What is the difference between 3 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in the way it feels?
Well, really none, essentially, but if you're in a village, it's quieter at 3 in the morning because children do go to school and some people have regular jobs. But the middle of the night in Greenland is my favorite time. It's just absolutely silent. It's rather placid weather most of the time, so it's just windless and quiet. And sometimes in the middle of the night, the dogs, there's many, many more dogs than humans, and they'll all start howling and just howl and howl and howl and sing maybe for an hour. It's really magical.
You write about small villages that could have tied up outside, close by, 500 or 600 dogs.
Or 6,000.
6,000?
Yeah. I mean, every family has usually 15 to 20 dogs. So you just multiply. If there's a village of 1,000 people, that's, 2,000 dogs, whatever. So it's really wonderful.
You seem to be most happiest during all of these trips to Greenland when you would be in a small house in a village up late at night telling stories, or on the sled in what, sometimes 20 below weather, out traveling for a long time.
Yeah, I think really the dog sled is, that's the happiest place for me in Greenland, maybe in the whole world. It's just you're right at the earth level or ice level. It's a kind of sensuous ride. It's bumpy and it's jagged, and you're kind of right down where the earth begins. And then you go at a really human pace. I mean, it's a dog pace, which is 4 miles an hour rather than 3 miles an hour. But it's fast enough so you feel as if you're getting somewhere, and slow enough so you can actually see and absorb the sights going by.
And how long would you stay out?
Oh, sometimes for a month at a time.
And what would the food be like, generally?
Well, we eat whatever we got that day. And if you don't get anything, you don't eat. So the normal meal is Danish tea and boiled seal, sometimes walrus, sometimes narwhal. We did have a wonderful special meal of polar bear once.
Let's talk about that polar bear hunt. It was... It ended, you had the polar bear meat and the polar bear skin and fur. But the actual shooting of the polar bear was in a way a bit traumatic, and you tried to intervene because it was a mother and a cub. Explain the protocol of that for us, please.
Yeah, they never kill a bear who has a cub, for obvious reasons. And so when we saw this bear, we really were just going up to her, trying to get close to her, just to see her and, take some pictures or whatever. And then we saw she had a cub. And then a terrible, tragic thing happened. One of the dogs, they cut the lead dogs loose when you see a bear, and the dogs sort of surround the bear just to keep her in the area for a few minutes. And one of the dogs saw the cub, turned back and jumped on it and injured it so severely that eventually the cub died. And so at that moment, the decision had to be made whether to kill the female or not. I was pleading for her life. And of course, for the hunters, it's hard to come on a polar bear. And so they did the obvious thing for a subsistence hunter, and that was to take her life. It's just hard to see anything die. But, you know, it was okay. They do it with great dignity and reverence, and it was okay. It was just hard to be a witness to what seemed like an execution.
It did seem quite sad. The polar bear mother is cornered by the dogs. She's looking for her cub. She doesn't know what's happened.
Yeah.
She figures she has no escape. And you're questioning, did she know at this point that she was doomed? Describe what she looked like when she was cornered there in that ice.
Yeah, she was sort of pushed up against an old iceberg, which was like just a wall of ice. And it was low, and when she stood up, she was standing up most of the time, and she put her arm on the top of the iceberg and was looking for a way to escape. And, of course, we knew she had no escape. But at that moment where she was looking around, you know, looking out towards the open ice, I was just rooting for her, like, go for it, go, go. And anyway, it was sad. It was just a sad moment for me. And I was traveling with a 5-year-old child, and at one point we were both sitting on the sled together, and just sort of spontaneously, tears came out of both of our eyes, and the hunter looked at us. They sort of regarded me as an aging child, and, you know, he just kind of shook his head like, oh, dear, you know, you'll grow up someday. We have to take this bear's life, but.
And here you are, of course, recognizing that you are indeed wearing polar bear pants and boots.
Absolutely, and it's the only way to stay warm, travel on a dog sled. And they, you know, the traditionally it's thought that bears can understand all human language. So that for many days, that day and for many days afterwards, you know, they reminded everybody there to be very careful about what they said, because the spirit of the bear was still alive, and that you mustn't say anything that would be disrespectful. And so it was a very quiet time for the next few days. And then when we did finally eat some of the meat, Jens, the hunter, said, you know, Mama took before we ate it, which means eat with great pleasure. And we did, and it was a quiet, a special evening.
Thank you, Ms. Ehrlich, for talking with us.
Thank you, Noah.
Gretel Ehrlich, her new book is This Cold Heaven, 7 Seasons in Greenland.